Enough white-collar criminals have gone to prison in recent years that at least one man is making a living from it, and in a way a new life. David Novak has a consulting firm that advises convicted corporate figures on how to best survive prison life. Mr. Novak speaks from experience. He's a former consultant for Microsoft who served 10 months in a Florida federal prison for mail fraud. Mr. Novak has authored a book. It's called Downtime: A Guide to Federal Incarceration. He joins us now from the studios of member station KUER in Salt Lake City. Mr. Novak, thanks very much for being with us.
It's my pleasure, Scott.
Now, one of the first points you make is that so-called country club prisons are not country clubs.
Well, in fact, that's one of the more tenacious myths that's perpetrated by the press. I know that when I arrived at federal prison camp Eglin in Florida in January of 1997, I expected to be surrounded by doctors and lawyers and politicians, when in fact, what I found was that over 80% of the inmate population was there as a result of the war on drugs. So not being prepared for that, it was quite a shock to me.
Are white-collar criminals concerned about becoming particular targets for attack or humiliation in prison?
Well, certainly that's one of the most common concerns of anybody going to prison. Am I going to be attacked? And for the most part, if an inmate follows certain simple rules of etiquette, the opportunity for this type of conflict is actually very small.
You include some very specific suggestions for your clients, having read your book, and I'd like to ask you about them one by one and just maybe if you could expand on some of them. First advice you have is don't rat.
It's important within the context of inmate society to recognize that any communication that occurs between an inmate and a staff member without another inmate present is automatically assumed to be ratting. So under the rules of inmate etiquette, you simply never divulge anything about another inmate to staff.
Don't reach.
Very, very, you know, boarding house rules. This kind of goes back to the manners most of our mothers taught us. You never reach across an inmate's plate or reach in front of them in any way. Even in minimum security prisons, you would very quickly become acquainted with the cutlery that was available to other inmates by doing so.
Don't whine.
This is a really important rule for white-collar types. You know, white-collar offenders generally feel that it's just horrible, everything they've had to endure the past year. And when they find themselves in prison, one of the first things many of them do is find anybody who's willing to listen and just complain about how they were railroaded, how they've lost millions of dollars and lost their place in society. What you quickly find is that every inmate, regardless of socioeconomic background or personal reality, has as much to whine about as you do in relative terms. So it's best to keep those things to yourself.
Don't ask personal questions.
One of the few things inmates have control over is their memories, their life, what occurs with them out in what's called the free world. Inmates, that's cherished by most inmates as though it was a tangible personal possession. So by asking personal questions or prying into an inmate's personal life, you're basically rummaging through their underwear drawer, as it were. So as you develop relationships, inmates will certainly volunteer information about each other to those they become acquainted with. But it behooves one to basically allow that to be volunteered and not pursue it.
Mr. Novak, thank you very much.
It has been my pleasure, Scott. Thank you.
David Novak heads his own consulting firm in Salt Lake City.